some things never change. So if you jump or you throw an apple into the air, it will always come back down. Gravity never changes. McDonald's promise that wherever you go in the world, a Big Mac will always be the same. Some things never change. The past never changes. If you get your hair cut and it goes wrong, or you break your arm, or you spend all your money, then you can't go back. Some things never change. I was having a think about what we might learn together from the Bible this weekend, and I plumped eventually for Ephesians chapter, some bits of chapter 5 and 6. And what I normally do with these things is I sort of get my Bible, and I'll give it a read, and then I'll get a different version of the Bible, and I'll give that a read, and then I'll write out the passage and stick some questions next to it and have thoughts and things like that. And then I went to my computer, and I think I've taught this before somewhere. So I went to my computer, and sure enough, I have, at Mark and Emma's wedding. And as I was sort of reading through what I'd put then, I started by saying a whole load of things about how gorgeous Emma was, obviously, and still is, and how I hoped that their personalities and distinctive things wouldn't change. And then I wrote a poem for Mr. and Mrs. Addison. Would you like to hear it? Okay, great. Here's a little ditty about our good friends Ems and Mark, who on the 4th of August on marriage did embark. It's just a quick reminder of the things we love and know, the characters and foibles that we hope will never go. Mark has a lovely manner. He's keen to serve and show care and deep sincerity. I'll help. Pick me. Oh no. There's the words he doesn't finish. The thing he does by choice, saying phrases like, that's qualla, in his little munchkin voice. And Ems will always smile a lot. She's such a little flower, even though her words come out at 100 miles an hour. But Mark, while things may flex a bit, I've one last rigid thing to share. A thing in Ems you'll never change is to straighten out her hair. So, like Mark's munchkin voice, or Emma's curly hair, or Big Macs, or gravity, some things never change. And those first four chapters, before we get to the passages we're going to look at from Ephesians, are helping the reader see that there are some amazing, unchanging things that we need to have stuck in our heads and in our hearts as we consider what we might be like in our households. And the whole of this sort of family that we've got here, Holy Trinity, should be and could be supporting marriages, families, and each other, but with these foundations. We need good foundations, and we have them in buildings and shoes and even makeup. So here's some super exciting foundations that Ephesians 4 says are never changing. Ephesians 1 to 4 says they're never changing, that we hope will be important as we work out what we should be like at home, all of us, whether you live on your own, whether you're with housemates, whether you're married and with your spouse, whether you're a parent or parents or foster parents, whether you're kids, everybody. God tells us that you need to know that, first of all, God really loves you. He really loves you. What does that children's Bible say? I wonder if you've got one of these at home, and it's one of my favorites. Every verse whispers his name as it points to Jesus, the Bible's about. And it says that God loves us with a never-stopping, never-giving-up, unbreakable, always and forever love. Chapter 1, verse 4 of Ephesians says, even before the world began, God loved us. That's a pretty long time to love us, isn't it? And if you go on to chapter 2, we find that because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive in Christ, which brings us to block number 2. If you are swimming and you're surrounded by sharks, or you're in a building that's on fire, or you're skiing and an avalanche is sweeping you away, what do you need? You can shout it out. What do you need? A rescue, yeah. Dead right, I'm glad somebody said it. We would, wouldn't we, need a rescue. Before God's Holy Spirit helps us to see our need and come back to God, verse 5 suggests, the ongoing bit of verse 5 suggests that it's not sharks or fire or snow. It's even worse than that. It's as if you're dead. That's going to need a pretty cool rescue, isn't it? And that's exactly what happens. Our box number 2 that we need to remember in our households is that Jesus has amazingly rescued us. Jesus has amazingly rescued us. Chapter 2, verse 5 goes on. Even though we were dead in our transgressions, that's sin, it is by grace that you have been saved. You've been rescued. And then back in chapter 1, we see that you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Phew! Jesus is always about rescue. And all of us need that rescue. This verse also helps us out when we consider our next big block. There are two little words in this passage which are really important. And they're these two. In Christ. Do you know what? In Ephesians, in Christ appears not once, not twice, not even 3 times, but 14 times. 14 times we're reminded as Christians that we are in Christ. And if you're in Christ, it's like you're a nut or a bolt as part of a big vehicle or something. So maybe you're a bolt that's part of a big ocean-going liner or a nut that's part of an aeroplane. So if you are part of that liner or aeroplane, you will always go where the aeroplane or the liner go. If you are a Christian, you'll know that we're described as a body if we're in Christ. And we're all different parts of that body. I wonder which part you think you are. Maybe you think you're a kidney or a lung. I reckon I'm probably an earlobe. But it's whatever part of anatomy, whatever part of Christ's body you are, wherever you are in Christ, and you get to go wherever his body goes, which is foundation number 3. You are part of God's big, unchangeable, church-shaped plan. And you always will be. Part of God's big, unchangeable, church-shaped plan. You know, sometimes I ask, and maybe you've asked these questions as well, what is life? What's going on? Where am I going? What is my purpose? Well, Paul, in Ephesians, calls questions like this a mystery. He says it's a mystery 6 times. But he says it is a mystery that he is able to, because of these big building blocks, make known to us. It's not a mystery anymore. The answer to life's direction and purpose for Christians is you are amazingly in Christ. You are brilliantly part of his design, and you will always be part of his big, unchangeable, church-shaped plan. So, what have we got? God really loves you. Jesus has amazingly rescued you, and you are part of God's big, unchangeable, church-shaped plan. And you might have noticed there's an exclamation mark after every single one of those. And it's there because when we think about these things, we should be gobsmacked. They are amazing. Don't ever forget this stuff. Don't ever let these things slip out of your mind. And don't ever forget to thank God for these foundations. Me and Claire aren't on our own. We didn't interview him earlier on, but I've brought a friend with me. His name is Hot Lips, and he's a monkey. He's a bit of a cheeky monkey, and he's a bit of a lazy monkey as well. In fact, I told him 10 o'clock, be ready, he's still fast asleep. So I'm going to need a bit of hand waking him up. You can all help, don't worry. Let you into a secret. Monkeys hate being called baboons. So, after 3, if you can shout as loud as you can, wake up, you lazy baboon, that would be great, okay? Has this not happened in church before? No, okay. Right. So after three, wake up, you lazy baboon. One, two, three. Wake up, you lazy baboon! Nothing. I think it's still snoring in there. I'll tell you what, I'll shout a little bit louder. You shout a little bit louder, sorry. I'll give the bag a shake, and we'll see if we can't get it. Are you in there? Yeah, he's in there. We'll see if we can't wake him up. All right, you ready? One, two, three. Wake up, you lazy baboon! Oh, you managed his tail. That's good. Right, really go for it this time, and then I'm sure we'll sort it out. One, two, five. One, two, three. Wake up, you lazy baboon! Who are this ugly lot? You can't say that, Hot Lips. This is Holy Trinity. We've come to do their We're All In This Together weekend. Can you tell them a joke? No. Hot Lips, your jokes are rubbish. And besides, you lot don't want to hear one of Hot Lips' jokes, do you? Oh, no, you don't. Oh, no, you don't. All right, go on then, Hot Lips. Don't say I didn't warn you, though. Give it your best shot. Why did the banana go out with the prune? I don't know. Why did the banana go out with a prune? Because he couldn't find a date. Don't laugh at him. It only encourages him, you know. You've got a better one. Okay, go on then. One monkey said to the other monkey, "Do you know you've got a banana in your ear?" The other monkey said, "Could you repeat that a bit louder? I've got a banana in my ear." It's just, they are rubbish jokes, Hot Lips. Stop laughing now. Hot Lips, if you don't stop laughing, I'll stop your banana ration. I thought that might shut you up. You don't like families? Oh, where did that come from? Hot Lips, that's a little bit sad. Married people and marriage is just annoying and hard work. Oh, okay. Kids can be a pain and big families get on your nerves. Well, I know, this is terrible, isn't it? Sometimes you feel left out and different and it makes you angry. Oh, don't be like that with him. Yeah, look, Hot Lips, remember, I'm married, you know. You don't like me then. Okay. And do you know what? I've got kids too. That was a silly thing to do. Okay, right. And you know, we spend lots of time together, don't we? Not anymore, I'm dead to you. This is shocking, isn't it? I told you it was cheeky. Look, Hot Lips, look back here. Back here. Okay, look, Hot Lips, I sort of get why this might be difficult for you as we think about families. And I'm guessing you're not the only person in the room here, because thinking about marriages and families can either be hard because you feel like you're missing out, or hard because you're in really deep. Marriage isn't easy sometimes, and kids, they can be hard work. And, you know, children and parents don't always agree on things, and that can be a little bit difficult sometimes. Okay, I know, I'm glad you agree with me. Here's the thing, though, Hot Lips. God has never promised us anywhere in the Bible that doing marriage and family is going to be easy in a church. So some people might be sad because of what they haven't got, and some people might be sad because of what they have got. Could I tell you three things that might help? Well, it just so happens, Hot Lips, that I have three things written down here. Okay, can I? No, I need to be able to see them. Hot Lips, can I look? Move out of the way. Okay, thank you. Right, here's three things that might help. First one is, you know, God says that there is something about his design for family that is worth really thinking through as a church together, no matter what your household is like, and no matter what emotions you have when it comes to family and marriage. So that's number one, okay? Number two, we've been looking at the foundations here, and God gives us these three amazing foundations to come back to every time it gets a bit tough. For whatever reason, these things will always be true and they never ever change. That's good, isn't it? Yeah. And thirdly, look, I'm just going to go through with these people in a moment or two how the Bible says that we should support marriages and families in our churches, and how that points us back to a reminder, a picture, an illustration of these three big things. So why don't you sort of pop back in your bag? Maybe can you come back and pray for us later? Okay, right. And have a listen yourself. There you go. Olives. Pop him down there. Okay. So there we go. I think it's about time we got to our passages, actually. We're going to have a think a little bit about marriage first, and Lydia's going to come up and read for us. So I'll pop that on there. But I've heard that the kids in this church are brilliant at listening very carefully to the Bible passage and working things out. So I have a question for you as you're listening, and it's this. This is Mr. and Mrs. Smith's wedding card. Congratulations on your wedding day, it says. And I want you to imagine that you are the Apostle Paul, the person who wrote this little bit that we're just going to hear about. And you're going to a marriage of Mr. and Mrs. Smith. What would be the things you would hope for Mr. and Mrs. Smith if you were Paul? Okay? They're just about to get married. What would you write in this card, basically? What hopes would you write in the card for Mr. and Mrs. Smith if you were Paul? Okay, do you want to come and read? Thanks. It's chapter 5 and verse 21. We're starting out of Ephesians.
Bible, it's on page 1176. Ephesians 5, starting at verse 21. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as you do to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Saviour. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church, without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In this same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated their own body, but they feed and care for their body, just as Christ does the church, for we are members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and his mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I am talking about Christ and the church. However, each one of you also must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband.
Great, thank you very much. So, let's see if anybody's got any ideas then. What might you put, or what might Paul put in his wedding card? What does he hope for Mr. and Mrs. Smith? Anybody want to have a go? Mark, you told me they were brilliant at this. Okay. Well, I'll tell you what then. I'll have a little look and see. Well, you can have a little look and see what I thought he might write in his card. So going at those verses, here's some things that he might write to Mr. and Mrs. Smith. Happy wedding day, Mr. and Mrs. Smith. I'm hoping and praying for, and this is the first one, you to have a good Jesus-like relationship with each other. Verse 21 says, submit to each other out of reverence for Christ. So, you know, look after each other like Jesus looks after each other. So I think that's the first one. And never say that the Bible is not practical or prudish. Because Paul goes on to say, I hope that you work well together and have lots of sex. You can talk about that when you get home. But when he mentions one flesh in verse 31, that's exactly what he's talking about. He's saying, be together in body and in the job that you're doing. And then he goes on to talk to Mrs. Smith, and he'd say, Mrs. Smith, I think you should, well, I'm hoping that you respect and submit to Mr. Smith. This is a bit of a sort of controversial one sometimes, because people think it might be a little bit sexist, this. But do you know what? Let's put it in its context. This is God telling, a good God who loves us very much and knows what's best for us, telling us his design for everything. And he usually tends to get everything right. So this is definitely something worth thinking about. And if, husbands, you're thinking, I'm just going to tell my wife she's got to do what I say, well, think again, because there's going to be a lot of loving and caring goes on when you look at the next hope that Paul has for Mr. Smith. Mr. Smith to love and care sacrificially for Mrs. Smith. That's what he's hoping for. So how are you supposed to do that? Verse 28 says, look after her like you'd look after yourself. We usually like to look after ourselves, don't we? And verse 25 says, love her like Christ loved the church and gave himself up to her. So literally, fellas, love your wife to death. Big card, big hopes. This is marriage in the Bible. But you know what? Sometimes I think the sadness is that we have at not being married, if we're in part of a church, or the toughness we feel at being married, or the experience we have of somebody else's marriage means that as a whole church family, we forget to hope for what God hopes for marriages. We decide not to come close to couples and check how all this is going, because it just feels a bit hard for us sometimes. I wonder, whatever your household is made up of, are there ways in which you could help marrieds do all this stuff? You know, we are, that's our strapline for the weekend, isn't it? We are all in this together. So what might you do as a whole church family? Here's just a few things off the top of my head. First of all, why not just come alongside another couple and ask them how they are? Go and have a chat. Think about these things before you go. And then once you've had a chat, pray for them. Simple, isn't it? What about getting together with a few couples and reading a book? And then or an article. It doesn't have to be a whole book. And then just sitting down and have a chat about it. That'd be great, wouldn't it? A sort of marrieds book club. In fact, I think Mark's got some ideas for that he might tell us about later on. What about helping out with Sunday school? If you do that already, you are brilliantly helping marrieds, because that is, you're just taking their kids and looking after them well for an hour in the week where they can sit undistracted in church and learn about Jesus together, and that's brilliant. And outside church, you could offer to babysit for a couple once a month. It's amazing how a few hours just regrouping once a month makes such a big difference. You know, whether you're young or old, married or single, happy or sad, finding it hard or finding it easy, I reckon we could all try one of these things to help people we know in our church who are married. And here's a really exciting thing. Ephesians suggests that if we're supporting or praying for or looking at marriages, it'll remind us of these big foundations, because a husband's love is supposed to point to the love that God has for all of us. And the way he cares for his wife sacrificially, that reminds us over and over again of Jesus' rescue. And as a husband and wife joined together as one flesh, well, again, that's something that points towards this big, unchangeable church-shaped plan that he has for us all as churches. Marriage is great, but you know what? It's not just about marriage. It's all about the foundations of God's love and rescue and church that we all need to keep on remembering and supporting. Okay, time for the kids. Or the families, at least. Let's stick that on there and have a think about what Paul has to say about children and fathers. And I think Phoebe's going to come and do this for us, and mums as well. So do you want to come and read it? Here's a question for you, though. Right, you need to be able to answer this one, all right? So you better start thinking this time. What big promise does God give to kids? What big promise does God give to kids as Phoebe reads it for us? Thanks, Phoebe.
The reading comes from Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1 to 4, and it's on page 1177 in the Church Bibles. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it all may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord.
Great, thank you very much. I just noticed on my slides, I missed one of those top tips to how you might help married people, and it's a really important one. It's the one on the left-hand side there. Kids, here's an idea how you might help your mum and dad. Get your other brothers and sisters after tea and do some chores. You clear up the table, you put the stuff in the dishwasher, you wipe it all and make sure every kitchen's nice and clean, just so your mum and dad can have 10 minutes sitting having a cup of tea and talking together. That's how you might support marriages. Have a think about that. Only four verses we've had read from Phoebe there, but there are some super clear, big truth stuff in here for both children and dads, and I think mums as well. The first one is, obeying your parents is right. It's a good thing. It's a really good thing to do. Not only that, but as you honour your mums and dads, it's a command from God. God, who made everything, including you, is saying, do it. And then here's the promise bit. Did anybody spot it? What if you do obey and honour God, what's going to happen? If you're a child and you obey your parents and honour them, what's going to happen? Yeah, Ollie. Yeah, you'll have a long life, a good life. It'll go well for you. Going on to parents, you know, annoying and provoking your children is not good, but teaching children to live Jesus's way is good. So, okay, we've read it in the Bible. What does it actually look like at home? Here's some ideas. Kids, did you know that as you practice to obey your, and hopefully you're not practicing, you're just doing it, aren't you? Okay, right. As you obey your parents, you are practicing to obey a good God who loves you very much. One parenting book that I read once said, you should obey without challenge, without excuse, and without delay. It's worth thinking through that. So there's no, it's not fair, or it's not my turn. Just do it. And the cool thing is that when you obey your parents, you're actually obeying God too. Both things, which as Ollie's told us and spotted, make things go well for us, which I think we all sort of believe deep down is right. Parents, I think it exasperating your kids happens in four, I'll do them really quick, but four ways. It's when you're hypocritical. So you need to be on your phones less and not using superlatives too, if that's what you're asking your kids to do. I'm sure there's lots of other things there. It happens when you're inconsistent. So keep together as couples. Make sure you're on the same page. And try not to change things too much. Try not to change any of those boundaries. It happens when you get angry. So make sure you're calm. Do that deep breath. Count to 10 slowly. And think before you let rip. It happens also when you're being unnecessarily repetitive. So be clear, be decisive, and make sure people listening look me in the eye. I have something very important to tell you. And lastly, when it comes to families, from these four verses, as mums and dads, we're supposed to teach our kids stuff about Jesus. My top tip from this is just do it. Just do it. Have a go. And kids, you know, when your mum and dad do have a go, be kind and listen to them because they're only telling you the best news there ever is. And the rest of us, well, the Bible calls God Father and us brothers and sisters because church is all about being one big family that supports those little families. Something which, like marriage, points us back to these big box foundations. God's a father. He loves like fathers love. So each time you see a father doing the loving, remember God too. And the stuff that's going on in families is all about pointing back to that big rescue that we've got from Jesus, an amazing rescue. As we do that and support that within churches, it is becoming part of that big, unchangeable church-shaped plan that God has for all of us. What great unchanging foundations to be reminded of. And we'll be reminded of them every time we observe or support marriages and families. In a moment, we're going to remember the reason why we can rely on these three big foundations. But before we do, we're going to pray. I'll get Hot Lips out, and then we're going to sing. Hot Lips is a great prayer. Where are you, mate? Come on. There you go. Mainly because I sewed two bits of Velcro to his hands. There he is. Okay, shall we pray together? Heavenly Father, thanks for family and marriage and church. Thanks for the big unchanging truths these things point us back to of your love and rescue and church and plan. May we all support these things more and more. In your name, amen.